it'd be useful if you had your Bibles open, because I'm going to look at chapter 19, most of it, as well as chapter 18. I didn't get a chance to tell Bruce before I left for Hong Kong, so we didn't end up reading chapter 19 as well. But we will be looking at that as well. Also, if you have your bulletin, you may want to have the sermon outlined there and possibly take notes if you'd like to do that. Now, let me just start by praying, though. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us your word here in Leviticus. Please open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word. Please help me to speak faithfully and clearly of your word. Let it change our hearts. Amen. Today, there are a lot of self-help guides to help you with almost everything. I looked up some on Amazon and found some quite interesting. How to be more assertive, and right next to that was how to be less assertive. How to sweet talk a shark. Well, that was quite interesting. How to write a book in a weekend, even if you flunked English. How to be interesting. And how to survive a zombie apocalypse. Well, today we're going to look at chapter 18 and 19 of Leviticus, which is really a how-to guide on how to be holy. Now, that's quite a strange topic to look at. You don't see many self-help guides on how to be a better holy person. In fact, the very idea of a holy person may be a bit strange to us. I googled images of holy man, and this is what came up. The first one was an old movie by Eddie Murphy. The second one was a guy in a hole. And the third one is an Indian holy man. I think ignoring the first two is slightly humorous. But the third is probably what the average person thinks of a holy person. It's some out there person, someone who follows all the laws, who's a goody-two-shoes, who denies himself, and probably lives in a faraway monastery somewhere away from everybody else. I recently just came back from China, and I got to go to mainland China and went a couple of hundred kilometres out to visit some of the factories. And out there, there is the amazing monasteries where I was told these holy monks live. Well, today as we look at chapter 18 and 19 of Leviticus, we're going to see that in fact denial and isolation are not what makes a person holy. We'll first look at what chapter 18 and 19 says about holiness for the Israelites. Then we'll look at why Israel is called to be holy in the first place. And finally, we'll look at what being holy means to us today. In the first 17 chapters of Leviticus that we've looked at briefly over the last few weeks, one of the main things that's set up is a system to show the Israelites that God is holy. It has also taught the Israelites that everything is either holy, clean, or unclean. And everything that is holy cannot come into contact with things that are unclean. Given that God is holy, we saw last week that God developed a system for the Israelites to remove their uncleanness or sin through the scapegoat. The second half of Leviticus, chapters 18 to 27, now goes on to show how Israel can be a holy people. A people that can come into relationship with their holy God. The chapters we're looking at today are often called the Holiness Code. And I think chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, basically give a summary for this section. And arguably a summary for the book as a whole. It says, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." So let's have a look at what laws God gives the Israelites to be holy. The majority of chapter 18 that we read out focuses on sex or sexual relations, with a focus on not having sexual relations with a close relative. Chapter 19, which we didn't read out, then goes on to give a number of laws relating to a wide variety of areas. Have a look at it. It's somewhat similar to the Ten Commandments. Respect your parents. Don't make idols. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not pervert justice, etc. These are the commands to help you be holy. Do you notice a common thread or theme running through most of these commands in chapters 18 and 19? I actually think it's well summed up in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 19, which we didn't get to read. I'll have it up on the screen and read it out. "Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbour frankly so you'll not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. These laws, this how-to on holiness, is not about denial or isolation or doing some other mystical thing. The summary of how to be holy is love your neighbour as yourself. Holiness is not about isolation. It's about how you relate to other people. Is loving people what you think of when you think of holiness? Holiness is obeying God's will. So you may ask, why is sexual relationships so prominent here? I mean, we had a whole chapter on it. There's a chapter then for every other command. Well, as we just saw, being holy is about how you relate to other people. And sex is a very special way to relate for an important relationship, marriage. That's why it's given a focus. So we've seen what God required of Israel to be holy. Let's now look at why God required them to be holy. A few reasons are given. First, in chapter 18, verse 2 and 3, it says, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices. Israel was to be holy because they are to be unique. They are to be different to the nation they left, Egypt, and different to the nation they're going to, Canaan. You see, having the Lord your God as your God makes a difference. It makes a difference that you have a living God who acts. And therefore, that should be reflected in the way the Israelites lived. And not just the way that they acted in ceremonial religious things dealing with God, like we've been looking at. These laws that we've read out show that it should also affect their relationships with other people. These laws covered sex, business, friendships. The Israelites were to be different in all areas of their lives. I think that's what verse 4 and 5 in chapter 18 is getting at. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws. The person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. The second reason given for the Israelites to be holy is so that the land will not vomit them out. You see, God had said that this land they were going to was going to be a holy land. And as we mentioned earlier, holy things can't come near unclean things. So this holy land would spit them out. And unfortunately for Israel, they did break these laws. And that is exactly what happened to them. They were spat out as they were carried off into exile. The third reason Israel is called to be holy is what we read in chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Israel is to be holy because God is holy. God has many characteristics we know from the Bible. One of the most important, one the Bible tells us, is that God is sovereign, that he's all-powerful. But another one that's also very important is that he is holy. And unlike that first characteristic, we are called to also try and copy that. To be holy is to be godlike. We are to love because God loves. The final reason Israel is called to be holy is because God said so. Now, that may not sound like a very good reason, but remember, God had redeemed Israel. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Israel was his people. God was their Lord. He was their king. Israel was not given the reason to follow these laws because they were moral or because not eating animals like pigs may be more healthy for them. The reason these laws were to be obeyed was because God was their Lord. So, we've seen what commands God had for Israel for it to be holy, and the reasons that they should be holy. But what does this mean for us here in the 21st century? Do these laws still relate to us? Are we called to be holy? And if we are called to be holy, why do we need to be holy? Well, let's go through some of the same points I just went through, but with an emphasis on us here as Christians in the 21st century. So are we called to be holy today? The answer is a resounding yes. In most of the letters Paul writes, he mentions that the churches are to be holy people. To quote just one reference in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7 says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And why are we to be holy? Well, the Israelites were to be holy because they were to be different, because they had a different God, so they wouldn't be vomited out of the Holy Land, because it reflected God's character, and finally because God was their Lord and King. And look, as we look at this, I think we can see some of the similarities for us. If we have Jesus as our King and God, shouldn't that reflect in how we live? Shouldn't we be different if our God is Jesus? When people look at you, do they notice and say, "Oh, you're a career woman, she always puts her career first," or "You're a family man and you always put your family first"? Or do they look at you and say that and see that Jesus is first in your life? Can people see that Jesus is your God? That affects the way you act. We are called to be a light in this world to show we are different by how we live. The second idea of the Holy Land vomiting them out, I think, needs to be looked at carefully. On one hand, we know from the book of Romans that following laws don't save us. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. We've been redeemed and saved because of what Jesus has done. We are holy because of that. However, it does remind us that we should still be different by being holy. I wonder if the book of Revelation had this chapter in Leviticus in mind when it talks of the Laodicean church in chapter 3. Just to remind you, Jesus says, "I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." You see, the Laodicean church were not being different to those around them. They were not standing out. They were lukewarm and were going to be spat out. If we want to be just like everybody else and don't live with God as our kings, then we're asking God to spit us out. The third point still applies as well. God is unchanging and he's still as holy today as he was during Israel's time. And just like them, we are called to reflect God's character. And the final point is also relevant. We should live for Jesus as he has redeemed us, not from Egypt, but from sin. He should be our Lord. As Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." What better way to reflect the Lordship of Christ than the things we do or don't do? Now finally, how do we be holy today in the 21st century? Well, in some ways, it's the same as the Israelites. As Jesus summed up in Matthew 22 verse 37, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law, including the ones we just read, and the prophets hang on these two commandments." For us to be holy, we need to love God and to love our neighbour. Just before I conclude, if you're wondering whether some specific laws that we've just read out or other laws in the Old Testament are still applicable for us today, a good general rule of thumb is, if it's mentioned in the New Testament, it's probably something we should try to follow. If it's not, then it was something probably specific for the Israelites before Christ came. That is, of course, the real difference between back in Israel's time and now. Don't mistake thinking that the reason we don't follow some of these laws is that they belong to a primitive world and we now live in a modern one. No. It's only because of the amazing thing that Jesus has done for us, fulfilling these laws, that they are no longer all applicable to us. With regards to the long list of laws relating to sexual acts, this is definitely one of the topics that is mentioned in the New Testament. Expanding the 1 Thessalonians reading I read a little bit earlier, it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Sanctified means made holy. that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. I also want to specifically mention the law against homosexuality we see here in Leviticus 18, as it's very topical at the moment. This is a law that is also mentioned in the New Testament. Romans 1 implies that homosexuality is wrong, saying, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. So, coming back to my question at the beginning, what do you think of when you think of holiness? If you look at chapter 18 and 19, it covers everyday life. It doesn't involve going into monk-like isolation. It relates to everyday activities. It involves loving God and our neighbours. Some people may say this is legalism, but there is a key difference between legalism and holiness. Legalism is obeying laws. Holiness is obeying God. Holiness is personal. Holiness is loving your neighbour as yourself. I think our common Christian idea of being holy is being set apart is sometimes a little misleading. The result of being holy is that we're set apart, we're different. But to be holy is to obey God. To be holy is to love Him and to love our neighbour. I want to finish by reading Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, which is Jesus' commentary on loving your neighbour. And as I read it, I want you to think about who is your neighbour, whether it's at work, school, university, your actual neighbour, people you get on with and people you don't. Think how you can love them as Jesus describes. Let me read it. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The teacher answered, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the teacher wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So to a Levite, another supposed holy person, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" Jesus said, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word here in Leviticus. Please help us to be holy. Help us to love you and our neighbour. Especially help us when we have neighbours who we struggle to get on with and who may antagonise us. Help us to reflect you and be different from those around us by our love. Amen.